Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It is April Fool's Day. It's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. And well, this could be the most important monthly review that we've ever done, Mickey. We've never seen volatility, numbers, losses like we've seen here. It's just mind-blowing to look at what happened last month and to think, well, is there any more to come? What's going to happen next? I mean, it's a sea of red ink, Mickey.
It's epic. It's unprecedented. And it's unique. We've never seen anything like this as long as you and I have both been on the planet.
Yeah.
And our parents probably did when they were kids, because they, at least in my instance, my parents lived, were kids during the Great Depression.
Same here.
So anyway, let's just get to the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers will tell the story.
Yeah. The Dow closed down 14% to 21,917, and it actually got into the $19,000 or value range at one point, rallied. Worst month since 1938. S&P 500, 2588, 12.5% loss. NASDAQ did better, but it still had a 10% loss to 7,700, and the Russell 2000. This reflects what's going on with small business in the U.S. Lost a whopping 22% on the month. And if you look at the quarter or year to date, same thing. Dow down 23%. S&P 500 minus 20%. NASDAQ minus 14%, and the Russell 2000, a whopping 31% loss. I went back and looked at the numbers, and we haven't seen these values for these indices since Labor Day of 2018 for the Dow, Labor Day of 2017 for the S&P 500, Labor Day of 2016 for the Russell 2000. This market was way too frothy, and it just took a catalyst, and the catalyst came in the version of the Wuhan flu.
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to call it that, but I agree with you 100%. Let's look.
Who says I'm not supposed to call it that?
CNN? Well, yeah, well, you know, yeah. Political correctness.
It originated. Now it's coming out from Chinese scientists. It originated apparently in a bioweapon lab, weapons lab in Wuhan province. That's 300 meters from the Wuhan market, from a horseshoe bat that does not exist in Wuhan province and was being investigated in this bioweapons lab.
I believe it. You tell me anything, I believe it. So let's go on to our lesser markets here. Equally as bad.
Even worse, I think.
Yeah.
Toronto Stock Exchange lost almost 18% to close at 13,379. We haven't seen those numbers since Q1 of 2016 during the commodities crash. And that makes sense because Canadians are very much an oil industrial metals economy. Toronto Venture Exchange has finished 18% below its previous all-time low. It lost 22% to 390, 32.5% for the quarter. The emerging market index, because of the economic collapse in China, reached a value that we hadn't seen since for 2.5 years at 832, down 17% on the month, 25% on the quarter. And finally, the VIX exceeded all values during the stock market crash or the economic collapse in 2008. It was as high on one day at 82. It finished the last day of the month at 53. I mean, really what's happened is this is called the fear index, and we've gone from fear to panic to rationality and to hysteria.
Yeah, that we have. And just reminds me, the situation is always hopeless, but never serious. And as long as you keep that in mind, you should be okay. Well, hey, we got
that's good.
We got one market that did okay. The dollar was up for the month and the quarter. So what's wrong with the world?
Well, we actually had two metrics that did okay, and we'll get to the other one. U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency, and it was a safe haven over the month. It was as high a week and a half ago as 102.7. We hadn't seen that since before Trump's inauguration. It finished the month. It basically gave back most of its gains. It finished the month at 90, a little bit more than 99 for a percent gain, 2.5% on the quarter. Of course, the euro lost an equivalent amount. It finished at 110. Actually, it was flat over the month, but it lost 1.5% on the quarter. Here's the real story with the Fed taking us down to a zero interest rate environment with a 0.75% cut. 10-year treasury, it actually got down as low as 0.36 during the month, 0.36%, finished at 0.7% on the interest rate. That's down 38% on the month, 64% year to date, and it exceeded its previous all-time low of 1.1%, just blew completely past that.
Yeah.
So 10-year bonds, of course, when the interest rate goes down, the price goes up. So 10-year bonds also a safe haven for some unknown reason. We'll find out how that holds.
Yeah,
and finally, Bitcoin proved once again it's not a safe haven, and we know it's not even a reliable method of exchange. It ended up the month at 63.56, down 21%.
Yeah, remarkable. Remarkable. And man, you know, you just look at that and you just shake your head. All right. So let's look at our metals here now, Mickey. I'll tell you, it's, you know, all things considered, gold held up pretty good.
Well, you would expect gold. I mean, there are many reasons why gold should go up. And it did go up, but then it came back down. So I'm going to tell you why it came back down. It had a high of 1680 over the month, a low of 1470, keeps bouncing up and down, and that's because of margin calls. And it finished halfway in between at 5577, lost $8 over the month, up 4% on the quarter. Silver proved once again it's just an industrial metal. It finished at $13.93. It got into the $11 range at one point during the month, down 16%, down 22% on the quarter. Platinum and palladium both had big losses. Platinum down 16% on the month, 25% on the quarter. Palladium, which reached an all-time high during the month, gave that back very quickly. It closed at 22.78, an 8% loss on the month. At one point, it was as high as $2,790. And finally, copper, Dr. Copper, reflecting what we know is the world economy is going in the toilet. The question is it a recession or a depression? Only time will tell on that. Copper got as low as 208 over the month, rallied a bit toward the end of the month, closed at 221 yesterday for a 12% loss, 21% loss on the quarter. Extreme volatility in the copper market.
Yeah, to say the least, it's just amazing to see these kind of numbers. We've never seen anything like it.
Oh,
and then the best for last, energy. Oh my God! Like people got to be questioning what's in it.
Here's what happened. Just as this panic over the flu, the Wuhan flu, was reaching some sort of crescendo. In China and starting to pick up in Europe, the Saudis and the Ruskies in their great combined wisdom decide to initiate an oil war. Let's call it this. Remember when we grew up in the 60s, Kerry, they had these things called gas wars.
Yeah.
And across the street the block, everybody's competing and dropping their gas prices. And, you know, you get down from whatever was normal, probably 20 to 25 cents. And all of a sudden, somebody's selling gas for 13.9 and then the guy next door is dropping his price to 11.9. Anyway, that's about what's happened. And coincidentally enough, this happened exactly as demand was cratering, crashing because of world economic situation, shutdowns, lockdowns, et cetera. So WTI finished the month at $20.48. That's an 18-year low. Down 54% on the month, down 66% on the year. That means that oil's lost 2/3 of its value. Started the year at 61.06. Brent, same thing, down to 22.74. Again, has lost 2/3 of its value since the first of the year. Henry Hub, not much better. It closed at 164. That's equal to its Q1 2016 low during the commodities crash. It lost 25% on the quarter. And finally, the other black thing on our board is uranium. Cameco shut down all its mining operations in the Athabasca Basin of Canada, plus its milling operation, Cigar Lake, the world's largest uranium mine, is now shuttered for a minimum of 4 weeks. And the price rallied, creeping up day by day, although it only gained, $2.15 on a month, but it did finish at $27.05, up 8.5% on the month and the quarter.
Yeah.
The question I have right now, and I haven't really figured it out with all these shutdowns, how's that going to affect base load electrical demand? Well, you would expect that it will, because most electricity used in the U.S. is for industrial processes. But we'll see with all the storefronts shut down and people certainly using more electricity at home. So your domestic electrical bill is no doubt going to go up, but anyway, we'll see. Or it probably won't go up because the price of oil is so cheap. So who knows?
Well, electricity now generally is generated from nat gas on long-term contracts, and there's still a lot of nuclear power plants. There's still some coal.
And there's still a lot of coal mines, too, Kerry.
The coal, but that's getting the economics because nat gas is so cheap. It just blows away the economics of coal at this point.
Well, in the U.S., but certainly China and India are building 400 new coal-fired plants, or they were building. We'll see how that expansion comes out. But coal is still king in the world for baseload electricity.
Yeah, well, in Florida here, we've had a trend. I think we have 11 garbage to electric plants. And they burn so clean, Mickey, you can't smell them. You don't see any smoke belching from them. And we've got megawatts and megawatts of power being generated from the burning of garbage, which sure beats the heck out of piling it up into these unsightly landfills.
Agreed, Kerry. But what percentage of that is contributes to your overall baseload electrical
maybe 10%.
Load in Florida? Maybe 1% or 2%. Now, I have no idea.
Under 10.
That'd be my guess.
Under 10, but it's giving renewable energy a new face, right? Because there's no shortage of garbage in the world. It seems to be a very renewable resource to me. It should be classified under that.
Absolutely. So what do? They burn this stuff in big incinerators?
Yeah, big incinerators at really high temperatures. They create steam. Right. The steam turns a dynamo. You know, this is...
And what's the energy into these incinerators versus the energy that comes out?
You know, I haven't found a study on it yet. I've actually been looking for that. But generally, there's a lot of energy in garbage because there's a lot of plastics and stuff. And then it becomes a question of filtering the waste. And they've done an amazing job on it. And like I said, there's 11 of them in Florida. And they're building them in various places. The newer technology seems to be good. So we'll see if that becomes a trend now or if the lower energy prices kill that off. Who knows? But one thing that's pretty incredible is the gold to silver ratio, huh?
Yeah, unprecedented. It hit 97 early in the month, and that was an all-time high. It blew past that. It was as high as 120, finished at 113. These ratios that we're going to talk about, all unprecedented. Platinum to gold ratio, its previous low was 0.59, finished the month at 0.46. 3 months in a row now with all-time lows, and the platinum to palladium ratio. You can buy 3 ounces of platinum for 1 ounce, what an ounce of palladium it costs you right now. Yeah. That ratio is at 0.32. Wow. Going on to energy, WTI to Henry Hub. Now, we know that the energy, the WTI to Henry Hub ratio, so I'll preface my remarks by saying we've talked about this before. We know that energy equivalent of a barrel of oil is equal to 6 million BTUs of gas. So doing that math, the ratio should be 6 to 1. It never is, except in Russia. That ratio right now is 12.5. And I looked all the way. We've been doing this show for 8 years, and it's never been that low. And finally, the gold to WTI ratio is now at 77. The previous high over the 8 years was 37.5 during the commodities crash in the Q1 of 2016. I'm going to go back and look at my board and see if that's an all-time high for the gold to WTI ratio.
Sure looks like it. I'm looking at them now. The most we ever got to is like 30-something, 37.
Well, yeah, but Gary, that's only 8 years.
8 years.
We've got this data since 1920, so right. I'm going to go back and look at it that far back.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. But in any event, for 8 years, it's way higher. It's almost double. It is more than double the highest number before it. And, you know, these people like, don't pay enough attention to these ratios. They aren't going to predict the future, but they're certainly going to point to imbalances and unsustainable situations. Well, if you look at platinum to gold, it's been unsustainable for years already, but it's so outside the norm. And then the platinum to palladium ratio as well, so outside the norm that you have to wonder, will something happen that will turn these around?
Well, here's something that has happened, and is that most mines have shuttered worldwide. Now, there's plenty of gold. Finding gold in the small denominations at reasonable markups right now for the individual who wants to buy a few bars or coins, pretty difficult.
Yeah.
But really what's happening is industrial metal mines worldwide are shutting down. Platinum, palladium, there are no more mines producing in South Africa. Copper mines shutting down. Iron mines, every uranium mines. Cameco said that the reason that they shut down Cigar Lake and the McClean Lake Mill was because of the virus, but I really think it was because they were losing money doing it. We'll see. We'll see in four or six or 8 weeks when presumably the real threat of this virus is going to go away if they start up that mine again. But those sorts of shutdowns for industrial metals, as the world's economy hopefully starts to recover, some of these metal ratios, I think, will
we'll reverse.
Start to normalize a bit But let's look at it this way. There's only one real money in the world, and that's gold. So I expect gold to perform quite well over the next few months.
Yeah. And Mr. Rothschild said that one. Everything else is credit. Or J.P. Morgan said that? J.P. Morgan. Take it back.
J.P. Morgan, yeah.
So, well, the important thing here in Florida is in my area, evidently it's a vital industry. They're still working and building houses. Why they're doing it, I don't know, because I got to believe that demand is going to evaporate for virtually all real estate. But we can't predict the future. They've got the money. They're going with it now, and they're keeping people employed. So, hey, all good for that. So
here, I'll predict one thing. Mm-hmm. If you hoarded bog roll, you're probably financially ignorant. As Bob Moriarty would say, you should be hoarding gold.
Yeah, agreed. Stocking up on gold, it's setting up gold and silver, both charts, highly, highly bullish from all the technical people I speak to. And look, you do what you want. It's your life, your risks, your family.
Yeah,
but
more power to you if you want to hoard bog roll.
All right. Well, that's it for now. Make sure you go over to Mickey's site, mercenarygeologist.com. Sign up for his newsletter, all of his advisories, because there's going to be a lot of them coming up. I just have that feeling. And come to our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Just had a real good one out yesterday. Thousands of people opened it. It was amazing. And as far as Twitter feeds go, Mickey's, yours is at Mercenary Geo. Mine is at Kerry Lutz. And anything else, questions, comments, you got to have something to say about this market. Just email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. We'll answer all. And if we get enough emails, we'll start the next show, next month's review, answering them, or we'll just do a separate show for them. So kl@kerrylutz.com. That's the email address. Mickey, till next month.
Thanks, Gary. Always my pleasure.